Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
We're going to look at Matthew in chapter 13 this morning. A lot of people don't live like there's a God in heaven that's alive. A lot of churches are deader than last year's Christmas tree. A lot of them are like a corpse walking around and doesn't have the good graces to lie down and end the whole thing. As children of God, you need to know this morning. God has always had a people. There's a people of God that are thriving and throbbing with the power of God. And God is just looking for those people, those New Testament churches, and He is going to bless. And I trust this morning as we look at this parable that God will ring your bell, that a little piece of heaven will fall right down into your soul. And you say, man, I got to get going. Man, I can't be just sitting here on the bench and on the sidelines. I got to get busy serving God. Go to Matthew 13 and let's look at that very first verse. Jesus is out teaching, He's preaching, He's healing, He's been in the field, He's been in the synagogue, He's been in the house, and now He's at the seaside. And it says here in verse 1 of chapter 13, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him. There is a spiritual hunger in America right now. That void will be filled with false doctrine if the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't step up to the plate. There are people in your life, in your orbit, that you rub shoulders with that are ready to hear about Jesus. They're ready to get born again. But if you don't speak up, they're not going to hear. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe without hearing? How shall they hear without a preacher? You know, if you don't speak up, Jesus said, now is the time of harvest. I see a hunger in Michigan that started last summer that I have not ever seen before. That's not profound, but I'm telling you, it's real. And there are people that are searching. He says, and great multitudes, they were hungry, gathered together unto Him. We must make it all about Jesus. We cannot make the mistake of making it about us or fundamental. We have got to make it about Christ. They gathered great multitudes. They gathered unto Him. They wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted to hear the Master preach. They wanted to hear the Master teach. They wanted to hear the great Rabbi sent down from heaven. I probably shouldn't use that term. Rabbi means Master. They wanted to hear from the preacher of preachers. They wanted to hear from the very Son of God. And when He spoke, never a man spake like this man. That was their testimony. Something was different about Jesus when He preached. And we read here in Matthew in chapter 13 and verse 2, great multitudes were gathered unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, standing room only. And He spake many things unto them in parables. That's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Allow me to read through verse 9. Would you stand one more time? And then when I get through verse 9, I'm going to pray, and we're going to get right into the preaching. And when He sowed some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Not all Israel was ready for this. I understand. That's what Jesus is talking about. And the fact is, the unbeliever today cannot understand the Bible. All they can understand is they're a sinner. And when they hear the Bible say that Jesus is the only Savior and He's the only way to heaven and He can give forgiveness of sins, they can understand that. The Holy Spirit helps them to understand that. Father, we pray Your blessing upon the Word of God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that You'd go before us today in the Scripture, that You'd unfold the Scripture right before our eyes. God, that you would do a great work in all of our hearts, and we'll thank you for everything that gets accomplished and give you the glory for everybody that is built up in the faith and encouraged and challenged. And Lord, give you the glory for anyone who will come to Christ today and be born into the family of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a lot to say, so sit down quickly, and I want to look at one word in verse 3. The sower. The sower. Now, for purposes this morning, that's you and that is me. People will not hear unless someone's casting forth, broadcasting the seed of God's word. I'll talk about the seed in a moment, but let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans and chapter 10. And talk about, and just read a few verses about the sower. 10th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The world is not going to hear about Jesus unless someone tells them about Jesus. And the Lord, the Word of God tells us, those that are the preachers, those that are the sowers, those that are broadcasting the Word of God, their feet are beautiful before God. God loves soul winners. God loves people. I know in the parable, that's the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But as far as soul winning, the Holy Spirit working through us, God, there's a dearth of soul winners. There are very few people that win others to Christ. There is a haunting gospel song I've been thinking about all morning. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know who sang it. There's so much good music out there. This is from the late 60s, early 70s. Let's see. My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems all my children want to stay around my table, and no one wants to work in the field. No one wants to work in my field. That's it today. There are so few soul winners. There are so few people that really care. There are so few people that sow in tears and reap in joy. There's a lack of it, even in our number, even at Fundamental Baptist Church. We're all in favor of it. We would all say amen, and we do when people come to Christ. But how many of us are really telling others? Now, I think we're better than average, but that's not good enough. Does that speak to you? Does that speak about who you are? We're to broadcast the Word of God. Bob Jones Sr. used to say to the preacher boy class, and I'm not old enough to have sat under his ministry by any means, but I've read what he preached again and again. He'd say, young man, God is hard up for workers. If you'll surrender to him, he will use you. That challenge is still true today. You say, but the guy down the pew here, he's a little more talented than I am. Yeah, but he's not doing anything. If you surrender what you have, God would use you. Amen. The sower. The sower. Let's talk about the seed. Go back to chapter 13. Verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Not to belabor this, I want to make this as quick as I possibly can. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. And I would like you all to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The seed is the word of God. The seed is giving out scripture. The agnostic cannot argue with the word of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, God's word never returns void. A man could argue with me semantics, but if I'll quote scripture to him, the Holy Spirit takes that ammunition, takes that scripture, and it'll never return void. He'll never get away from John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He'll never get away from that. He'll never get away from whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll never get away from, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He can argue with me. He can debate with me. And he can even poo-poo the word of God. But once I speak it, he's heard it. And the Holy Spirit can use it again and again. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of our Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the gospel. There is a promised harvest if we just get out the Bible. Go to Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 126 and verses 5 and 6. I first heard this psalm when I was in Bible college, listening to cassette tapes of preachers, and I got a hold of a John R. Rice sermon, and it was entitled Sowing in Tears. And from that day to this day, I have never forgotten this passage. In fact, when I do sign my name, where I have to sign my name, and it's somebody that wants my name, and I'll write this reference right after it. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Here's the soul winner's promise. It says in verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's the soul winner's promise. God's word will never return void. There are two approaches to God. One approach is the Bible is God's book. It's authoritative. He wrote it. There is no debate. The other approach is the Bible was written by men. It is subject to change. Man's tradition and philosophies and denominational truths are the authority. I choose the first. I choose the Bible as the word of God. It's settled in heaven. It's never going to change. This culture is not going to last. This generation is not going to last. But God is forever. And God's word is forever. So here's what I got to do. I got to be a sower. I got to be one that's casting forth seed. We don't determine who receives Christ and who repents of their sin and who gets saved. That is not our job. That is the job of the Holy Spirit working amongst God, working among the people of this earth. Our job is to broadcast or sow the word of God. Let's go back to Matthew in chapter 13 again. And let's just pick up reading with let's go with verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he heareth. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see and see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. And again, the natural man perceiveth not the things of God. There's a lot in the Bible. You know, you hand the Bible to an unsaved person. That's how cults get started. Man, they're reading somebody else's mail. That's why they don't understand the Bible. They don't understand simple Bible truths. But you get somebody born again, born of the Spirit of God. Now all of a sudden, man, that passage, I know what that scripture is saying in its context. To give the Bible, I probably shouldn't even have gone down this road, but to give the Bible to an unsaved person, say, teach me what you know, is like handing a loaded gun to a child. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know what it's about. They don't know. Now, we need to give them the Bible. We need to give them the word of God. We need to plant the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then after they get saved, they grow in grace. And there's no secrets. They grow in grace and they learn the Bible. And pretty soon they're mature in the faith and they understand what the Bible says. And we all come to the same conclusions because the Holy Spirit is all of our teacher. He teaches every one of us. We're reading from the same book. Okay, let's go back to the passage. I didn't even get as far as I wanted to get. For the people's heart is waxed gross, verse 16, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But speaking specifically of Israel there, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Okay, now we're down to verse 18, and I want to read just a few verses here, and I want to talk about the heart. We've covered the sower, we've covered the seed. Now we're going to talk about the soil, and the soil really is these are the hearts of man that are receiving the seed. Hear the parable of the sower. Jesus interprets it. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that's the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. These are unsaved people. They hear the gospel. The seed never germinates. They never receive Jesus. They know about Jesus. They never get born again. Verse 20. And he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy, key word, receiveth it. These are born again people. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. These are the weak. These are those that are born again. I'll use this terminology, but they're baby Christians. And as soon as something happens to offend them, they turn tail and run. They throw in the towel. There's no real roots in their life. All they did was get born again. They're like that little baby that cannot care for themselves. And they're open to whatever the world has for them. And this explains why a lot of people who profess faith in Christ, if they're genuinely saved, and only they and God know that, profess faith in Christ, don't last very long. They never grow. They continue to be babies. They have to be spoon-fed every little truth. And that's on them. And that's the choice that they make. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 22. He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This is the worldly Christian living for the now and now. And the deceitfulness of riches. Riches tell you, if I have money, everything will be okay. That's deceitful. That is not true. And they start chasing shiny objects. And because of the deceitfulness of riches and buying into it, they don't bear any fruit. They don't win people to Christ. They don't help brothers and sisters along the way. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. These are the Christians that are all in. This is what we're trying to develop here. These are the Christians that have the wow factor. They're leading people to Christ. They're handing out gospel tracts. They're testifying every chance they get. Every conversation they can, they bring Jesus into it. They're known by their peers as a holy roller. They're known by their peers as a Jesus freak. Even though that's not it at all. We're just normal, New Testament, born again Christians in love with the one who's washed away all of our sin and made for us a home in heaven. Man, when you love somebody like that, you're going to talk about them all the time. And because you have that prepared heart, you don't know everything, but you're growing. You're growing. And with that prepared heart, you're fruitful. There are results. Again, I said it in Sunday school. I'll say it again this morning. The gospel's not static. If you're born again, you're going to impact people for God. You're going to be fruitful. And these are the people that God blesses. And God is going to increase what's on their plate. And God is going to use them as channels. And there'll be blessings to the saints of God. And there'll be blessings to the unsaved. There'll be people in your life that are not born again. And they have not chosen Christ as their Savior. But they still want to be around you because they can count on you. And you're a blessing to them. And by the way, eventually, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Don't give up on anybody that you've been witnessing to. Don't mark them off and say, well, they'll never get saved. I've been proven wrong by that so many times over the years. The most hardened man, the one that mocked me the most, gets born again later on. So, whoa, that is amazing. There are people in this church right now that a few years ago, others thought would never darken the door of a church. That's the power of the gospel. Okay, now, I want to bring this right down to where I want to be here. Look what it says in that last verse again, verse 23. He that receiveth the seed into good ground, the wow factor, is he that heareth the word. love it, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, if we're good farmers, and Jesus used the parable of the sower, a farmer's close to the earth. I mean, they're real. They love the feel of the soil, the smell of broken ground in the spring. That's a farmer. Yeah, they appreciate those little things. And they understand they need the climate to cooperate. That's what I want to end this message with this morning. I gave you some Bible truth up to this point. Now I want to make something, I want to make application as far as that's concerned. The sower, God the Holy Spirit. The sower, using the church of Jesus Christ. The sower, soul winners within the church. The seed is the word of God. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to broadcast it to all kinds of different hearts, all kinds of different soils, all kinds of those that are unprepared and those that are prepared. Some are going to reject Christ and they'll not last. Some are going to be babes and that's as far as they're going to get, but we're going to see them in heaven. Some are going to grow in grace just a little bit, but they love riches and they love the cares of this life. And so they're not real fruitful. They're frustrated. And others, they got the wow factor. They are all in and there is a great harvest. They are very, very fruitful. Now, what do we need to grow crops? We need the soil to be right. We need the farmer to plant the seed. That's the soul winner. And we need the right climate. That's where the church comes in. The right climate. We need to make people feel that visit here. We need to make them feel like if they were the only sinner in need of salvation on this earth, that God the Son visited this earth just for them and went to Calvary and shed his blood just for them. We need to roll out a red carpet welcome. We need to fall all over people that come to this church, visiting this church. And listen, I'm preaching this because I know this is something that we have, but if you don't stay on top of it, if you don't develop it, if you're not constantly practicing it, it falls by the wayside and it kind of gets forgotten. Here's what happens when we come to church. Take this to heart, everybody that wants to be a fruitful Christian. We see the same people that we love very dearly. And if we're not careful, we talk to those same people and it actually becomes, without us knowing it, a click. It isn't a real click, but anybody visiting the church thinks it's a click. Man, we can't have that. We understand that Jesus, that God, so loved the whole world. So what we've got to do here at Fundamental Baptist Church, go to Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's take this to heart. We want to grow? Let's take this to heart here this morning. Verses 1 through 6, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, no narcissism there, no pettiness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, that's a job. If it was easy to do, it wouldn't take grace to get it done. It's not easy to do. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it goes on and elaborates that just a little bit. We have got to be unified. If it were easy, it wouldn't take God's grace. The natural thing is to get mad at one another. The natural thing is to get selfish. The natural thing is build up your own little bubble and everybody else stay away from me. Stay away from my kids. Stay away from me. The natural thing is to have a chip on your shoulder and just dare people to knock it off. I feel sorry for you if that's your state in life. You've got to be the most miserable person in the building this morning. Well, you think everybody's got to kowtow to you. The natural thing is to hold grudges. The natural thing is to be unforgiving. The natural thing is to, you know, me and my Bob, we four and no more, and you know, the rest of the world go to hell as far as all I'm concerned. That's the natural thing. That's not the church of Jesus Christ. For as often as my Savior has forgiven me, amen, man, I ought to be able to forgive the brethren over and over again. Number one, we've got to be unified. It needs to be genuine. Genuine New Testament Christianity. Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians and chapter 6, just back a book. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially of them who are of the household of faith. Be a blessing, not a burden. We need to go after people. We either go after visitors that come to church. Really, I'm just talking about outside, obviously, but here in the church house. We either make ourselves available to visitors or we appear, true or not, we appear self-righteous. Now, a lot of visitors, they come in, they sit in the back, they get out as quick as they can. Boy, you've got to make effort. You've got to beat feet out in the parking lot to meet some of them. But you, I don't want them to leave here not knowing, or I want them to leave here knowing that we love them, that there's a God in heaven, that this is a New Testament church that belongs to God. D.L. Moody used to tell the story about the little boy that rode trolley after trolley to get across town in Chicago in order to get to Moody's church. And when somebody asked him, why are you going to church way across town and on all these trolleys? And the little boy looked up to that conductor and said, "Mister, it's because they sure know how to love a fella over there." That ought to be our attitude. Maybe we can't be the biggest. Maybe we can't be the richest. Maybe we can't be the most well-heeled, but we can be the friendliest. We can show them the love of God. Now, it's going to take you getting out of your bubble. You're listening to the preacher preach this morning. Very practical message. You're listening to the preacher, because we got to have the right climate. You're listening to him preach, but we're going to say amen in a moment, and some of you are going to shake hands with the same people, go out the same doors, and get to the same car. Man, you got to enlarge the tent just a little bit so that God will bless. And then the third thing is, obviously and always, gospel clarity. One way to heaven. His name is Jesus. He is the Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're not building a denomination. We're not building a resort. We're building, God is building through us the church of Jesus Christ. And we can't ever lose sight of that. Give people a chance. Give them a chance. Maybe you work with someone and you've never showed them the love of Christ. They have never seen, like we read in the book of Acts, the grace of God. You've never given them an opportunity. You're unapproachable. You never have a smile on your face. You never reach out and try to meet a need. Man, we've got to reflect Jesus, and this church needs to make it very clear the gospel is for everybody. Church is for sinners. Serving takes discipline. We need the right climate. You see, you can have the right seed and the right soil, but if the weather doesn't cooperate, nothing's going to happen. This climate change fiasco, I'm not being political. I'm just telling you what I know, what I've heard. The climate's always changing. It's always been changing. It never stops changing. I'm old enough that in the 70s, I remember it, science was saying we're going into a new ice age. It was in Time magazine, front page. I remember sitting as a freshman in high school reading the article saying, man, I better get another winter coat. The ice age is coming. And I'm not saying we ought not to be stewards of the earth that God has given to us, but you know what it is? It's turned into a religion. That's right. It's worshiping the earth. Amen. It's wrong. It is idolatry. But I will say this. And I hope, I'm all for climate change, by the way. I hope Lake Superior becomes the new Miami Beach. I hope it gets warm up here. I kind of enjoyed this winter. It was a wonderful winter. Now, it may not be over yet, but it was a wonderful time. I've enjoyed it. Been a great break. I will say this, though. A lot of churches need some climate change. They're as cold can be. They say that flattery, that the imitation is a good form of flattery. And some of that's true, some of that's not true. I heard a man say not too long ago, we're like Fundamental over there in Kinross, but we're cool. And I don't want to be cool. This world is getting colder and colder. The last thing it needs is a cool church. Man, we don't need one foot in the world and one foot in the Bible. We want to serve God with the right climate. See, the preacher can preach right. We can sing the right music. We can be in love with God, but if the climate's not right, sinners aren't going to come to Christ. Take that personal. Take that right to heart this morning.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.